Go ahead and open your Bible up to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10 is what we're going to be looking at today. I've always considered myself a bit of a skeptic. And it's not that I don't trust people, but I want to see and experience what they're saying for myself. On a lesser note, this is why I love samples at the grocery store. One of my favorite grocery stores is Stu Leonard's. And one of the reasons that I like them is that they usually have a bunch of different samples on different products that you can try. They also have some of the best ice cream that you could ever have. And they're smart. They have the ice cream right at the front, so that you can buy a cone and then walk around the store eating ice cream while you shop.
Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Nate Young delivers this week's message.
And as a parent, this was like one of the most amazing things for me, especially when our kids were younger, because you buy your kids a bowl of ice cream, you stick them in the cart, and then you can shop in peace. And they're happy for most of your shopping experience. In some cases, they may cause a larger mess than causing you ease to shop. But I think most people know this by now, because most places do this. They'll give you a free sample of ice cream, which is good because they have flavors that are for a limited time around the holidays. And most of the time, they're pretty good, but every once in a while, it's gross. Like, they had one over St. Patrick's Day that was supposed to be like shamrock mint something. It tasted like ammonia to me. Most of the time, they are pretty good. But every once in a while, they're not. And there's nothing worse as a parent than having a kid who's filled with hope for ice cream, only for me as a parent either to not let them have it or give some to them that's disgusting. If it's true that the ice cream that they're selling is good, then they should let you try it. And if you try it and it's good, then you'll want to buy it. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not a product to be bought and sold. But let me just say to you, it's something that you need to experience for yourself. You need to know if it's real or not. And since it's true, and the events really happen, then you have the option to sense them for yourself. And what you're going to find is that Jesus Christ is risen. If you examine the details and the accounts from the scriptures, you will see the evidence is overwhelming that Jesus Christ was a real man, that he did suffer and die on the cross, and that he is risen. And since Jesus is risen, then we can have hope. We do, in fact, have hope. With this in your mind, I want to invite you to stand for a reading from the scriptures, Matthew chapter 28, 1 through 10. If you're able, will you stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God? Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is a reading from the Word of God. You may be seated. There's a pattern in this particular text that I want to expose to you. It's a pattern that I think is still crying out to this day. It's this idea of seeing, hearing, and then telling. Seeing, hearing, and telling. In the first four verses, what I hope for you to see today is to see the hope we have in Christ. In this passage today, Jesus continues what he taught in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. In Matthew chapter 20, Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom of God. The parable is about workers in a vineyard. In the parable, some workers are hired earlier in the day and some later, but each worker is paid the same. Here's the point. The point is, in the kingdom of God, God loves everyone. No one is better or do more than another. The parable ends in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 20 with these words, "So the last will be first, and the first last." Why is this important for our text today? You see, today society, and for many years, society has tried to put value on people. It tries to determine their worth, but what this text reminds us is that God loves his children. And even though society at the time devalued in particular women, God gave these women the incredible blessing of being first to see his empty tomb. Because as we're reminded in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, he delights in making the first last and the last first. And you still might be asking, why is this so important? It's important because there is a lie that's perpetuated at this time that still lives on today. A lie that says that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, but instead his disciples took his body and lied about his resurrection. The women being the first to see the tomb was all part of God's plan to prove that the resurrection truly happened. You see, the witness of the women would have been, at that time, considered worthless because of how they would have been viewed in society. So if the story was made up, they would have never had the situation play out this way. God not only builds up those who are lesser in society by letting them be the first to witness Jesus' resurrection, but he also does this by recording the response of the women compared to the response of the guards who were stationed outside of the tomb. What happens here is that worldly strong men fear the events as they unfolded, but weak Christian women stand firm in the truth of God's word. These worldly strong men have faces waxen and immobile with fear. What is happening is that those who took up arms against Jesus are now frozen with fear. Literally, the text tells us that they passed out. Let's see what's happening that encouraged these two totally different responses. And two main things encouraged these responses. Upon coming to the tomb of Jesus, prepared to tend to the body of Christ, the text tells us that a great earthquake greets the women. This is not the first time we've seen an earthquake in the Gospels. Just in the previous chapter in Matthew 27, 50 through 54, as Jesus is being crucified on the cross, he cries out and gives up his spirit. As he does so, an earthquake immediately follows. If you look over just one page in your Bible in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 54, you'll see these words. It says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and they said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" The events but specifically the earthquake, caused the centurion and those with him to openly admit, truly, this was the Son of God. We see earthquakes mark the mighty moving of God in the book of Acts, in particular, chapter 4, verse 31, where we see the whole building shake as the gift of the Holy Spirit is given. And again in Acts chapter 16, verse 26, when God sets Paul and Silas free from prison. Here in Matthew, and again throughout the New Testament, God uses fantastic events such as earthquakes to mark his powerful work. But God also uses angels to mark off these events as well. Angels accompany the history of redemption at its cardinal points. In the life of Jesus, in his birth, then they minister to him when he is tempted in the wilderness and are now present at his resurrection. And the description of the angels is often a fantastic one. And the description of this angel doesn't disappoint at all. I like to think about it this way. I've been to many weddings, and one thing that's common at many weddings is to have a DJ who plays music and has lights and everything else. But one of their main jobs is to announce when the bride and the groom enter for the wedding reception. With all the lights and sounds, the DJ is not the star of the show, but he only gets to introduce the real stars of the show. I've been to some weddings with some pretty good DJs, but none of them have ever been as amazing as this angel and his announcement. But what we need to understand is that both the earthquakes and the angels exist to do the will of God for the glory of God. And even though they do it in fantastic ways, they don't act upon their own will. They carry out the will of God by doing what he commands. What I want you to see here is that we've not been asked to believe in Jesus without any evidence. Yes, we believe by faith, but it's a faith built on evidence. There is enough eyewitness accounts and enough recordings in the scripture of the resurrection of Jesus that you can, in a very real sense, see with your own eyes that Jesus is who he claims to be. But not only can we see here the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can hear the hope we have in Christ. What's even more amazing in this text is that the angel doesn't just put on a great light show. He speaks to the woman. The angel actually addresses the women and how they must be feeling. The angel says something that's common for them to say when they interact with humans. It's these words, "Don't be afraid." And based on the description of the angel, we can understand why the women would be afraid. I've never been struck by lightning, but it describes here that the appearance of the angel is like lightning. Now, I've never been struck by lightning, but I've had it hit close enough that it's made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. And yes, I know, that was many years ago when I had hair on the back of my head. But the angel tells them why they don't have to be afraid. It's because the angel knows why they have come to the tomb. They have come in search of the body of Jesus who is crucified. But let me ask you this question today. It's Easter Sunday. Why have you come here today? Have you come because you feel obligated to? These women in Matthew could have gone to the tomb because it was their obligation to tend to the body. But the angel tells us that they came because they were seeking Jesus. Have you come here to seek Jesus today? And if you have, the next verse holds some of the greatest words that you could ever hear. The words that Jesus cannot be found in a grave because he is not dead. Jesus has risen from the dead just as he said. Just as recently as Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 and the beginning of 32, he told them this truth. Matthew 26, verse 31 is actually a quotation from the Old Testament. One of the books in the Old Testament is called Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, Matthew now quotes that passage here. And this is the moment where we get to see Zechariah 13, 7 happening, or has already happened, and Matthew chapter 26, verse 32 is happening. Prophecy about Jesus is being fulfilled. But there's something that's happening in verse 6 that we must take note of. It says, he has risen. In the original language, this is actually what's considered a divine passive, meaning that Christ didn't raise himself from the dead, but he was raised from the dead by God the Father. Now, why would this be an incredible truth? This is incredible because it means that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was accepted by God the Father for our sins. And as such, he raised Jesus from the dead as a sign of his acceptance of the sacrifice of Christ for our sins. This means, friends, this means, brothers and sisters, that the death of Jesus Christ didn't just pay for our sins, but it also earns for us eternal life. Since Jesus is not dead, if we are in Christ, we will not remain dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 says this. It says, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. But Paul continues on in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 20 through 22. He says this, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ is not dead. He has been raised from the dead. And the natural reaction to hearing this amazing news is an overflowing desire to want others to know this news as well. The angel instructs the women to go and remind the disciples what he had told them, what Jesus had told them in Matthew 26, verse 32. But here's what the text is telling us today. Jesus will make himself known to you when you seek him. Unlike the text today, Jesus is not waiting in Galilee to make himself known to you. He's making himself known to you right now on the pages of the Bible. He is speaking to you now through his word. And the message that he is risen is calling out to you. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, see the eyewitness testimony of Matthew and his gospel, and hear the words of the angel recorded, and know that you can have hope in Christ. You can have hope for the here and now. A life that is lived in Jesus is a life worth living. And in him, you have everything you need to face all the good times and to face all the bad times, all the hard times, knowing that in Christ, you have hope that cannot be destroyed by circumstances. But you also have hope for the future. As I said before, because Christ is risen from the dead, those who are in Christ will have eternal life as well. You see, friends, brothers and sisters, this life is not the end. Because of Jesus Christ, life eternal has been extended to us, life in heaven with him forever. But the third and final thing I want you to see in this text today is this natural response that should happen once you have seen the truth of Jesus Christ, once you have heard the hope that we have in Christ. The natural response is to tell the hope we have in Christ. For those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Savior, that know the message of Easter Sunday, the message that Jesus is risen, is actually a call to action. The call to action is one that the women who first hear this message take up. They move quickly to get this message out. They don't actually wait until the fear of that they had of this angel is gone. But my concern is that oftentimes for us, there is a fear that we have of sharing this incredible message of the resurrection of Christ. We can often have times where we're afraid to share the gospel, especially in this day and age of what's been called cancel culture. We have points and times in which we're afraid of getting canceled. But let me just say to you, brothers and sisters, if Jesus is alive, if he has resurrected from the dead, there is no fear that we should have of the culture around us and what they can do to us. We must let the great joy of this message overflow in sharing this truth with others. Today is not the only day we should be celebrating the resurrection of Christ. For us as Christians, we should celebrate Easter every day. So the question that I'm posing to you now is, who will you, brother and sister, who will you, Christian, run to this message? Who will you run to with this message that Christ is risen? Before you might think that I'm stretching this call to the women, that I'm stretching it too far to apply to us, remember in just a few verses, the Gospel of Matthew ends with this call in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, 19 and 20 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Something amazing happens in this text to these women. As they're obeying, Jesus meets them where they are. I love the irony of Christ in verse 9 of our text today in Matthew 28. Upon meeting the women, he calls out to them with this word, greetings. It's just been a few verses ago in the Gospel of Matthew that we've heard this word before. It's the same word that Judas uses in Matthew 26, 49 when he betrays Christ. Greetings. One uses it in betrayal, the other uses it in acceptance. But upon seeing Jesus, these women take hold of his feet and worship him. Two important truths are here in this verse. Too often, I think we can get consumed with obeying the word of God and forget the reason we obey. The reason that we obey the word of God is to worship God. The worship of God is the reason for obedience. Worshiping God is, in fact, telling the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But the second truth is the truth that Jesus remains human even after his death and resurrection. Have you ever thought about this? I wondered sometimes if we didn't consider that Jesus, who came down and took on sinful human flesh, what actually happened to him after he was crucified and resurrected? Did he just go back into heaven, no longer taking upon himself human flesh? But this text tells us that he, in fact, does maintain a physical body, a body that can be touched. Why is this so important? It's important for the ministry of Jesus, or in other words, it's important for what he is doing right now. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 35 says this: What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Here's the truth of this passage. Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected for our eternal life, and even now he is actively interceding for us with God the Father. Friend, if you are here today, or you are listening online, you must know that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is real. And he is calling out to you today. He's calling out for you to receive forgiveness of your sins and a new life with him that will last for all eternity. But you must ask to receive this free gift of salvation. There would be no better day than today on Easter Sunday to turn in repentance from your sins and turn to the forgiveness that only a risen Savior, Jesus Christ, can give you. In verse 10, Jesus repeats the message of the angel and encourages the women to continue on their course. If the first purpose of sharing the gospel is the worship of God, then the second purpose is the love of others. You see, Christian, you see, brother and sister, God's purpose for us once we have believed the truth of the resurrection is to help others see and hear the gospel as well. So we must go and tell. We must take this message, the greatest message in the history of the world, the message of Easter, the message of Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus Christ is not in the grave, but he is risen. But friend, let me plead with you one more time. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you're hearing this gospel message for the first time, the message that you and I are sinners. We were born sinners, and we have done sin our entire life. And as a result, a holy God who can have nothing to do with sin has condemned us to an eternity separated from him. But the good news of the gospel is even though we are condemned in our sins, Jesus Christ has made a way that you can be forgiven today. That if you call out to him in prayer and ask him to forgive you of your sins and receive this free gift of salvation that Christ accomplished for us in his death on the cross and his subsequent resurrection, you can be saved today. You can know the forgiveness that Jesus Christ gives. In a moment, we're going to have a baptism, which is one of the most physical displays of the gospel message that one could ever see. The image is being painted of Jesus' death under the ground, but then his subsequent resurrection to new life. There's a picture that's being painted there that is so necessary for us to see today, to have a tangible and physical reminder of the incredible grace that's been extended to us in salvation. If you've not received this free gift, I want to encourage you even now to pray. I'm going to pray in a moment, but I want to encourage you to pray and ask Christ to forgive you. And if you do that, would you let me know or let one of our deacons know or whoever invited you today, would you let them know that you prayed to ask God to forgive you? But brothers and sisters, we must continue to go and tell. Let today be a renewal of your passion to share the gospel and to tell others this message that Jesus Christ is alive. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this time that we can stop and remember and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Lord, help this day, help this moment to be a catalyst that carries us forward in not just living and being mindful of the resurrection of Christ today, but every day for the rest of our lives or until you return. Lord, thank you for this incredible message that Christ is risen and the hope that we can have in this message. Lord, help us. Help us to believe and hold on to this truth. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.